President Obama heads to the Gulf.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, in for Steve Chiatakis. President Obama is about to fly to Louisiana for his second visit since the BP oil spill began. He'll get a firsthand look at oil-covered beaches and marshes while he's there. Meantime, a Coast Guard official says the mud BP has pumped into the well has stopped the flow of oil and gas for now. BP says we won't know till Sunday if the operation was successful. The company has spent almost $1 billion responding to the spill so far. And let's check global markets. Stocks in Europe are up just under 1% at this hour. Asian markets closed up more than 1%. Oil has risen above $75 a barrel. Quite a day for the Dow yesterday. It finished up 284 points to close at 10,258. Got news this hour from the Commerce Department that consumer spending was flat last month. Personal incomes ticked up slightly. Well, all the drama we've seen in the stock market is nothing compared to what's happening in the bond markets. Companies are having a hard time selling their debt. In fact, the cost of borrowing is the highest it's been since Lehman Brothers collapsed. For more on this, we turn to Guy Labat. He's chief fixed income strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. He joins us now live from Philadelphia. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Well, I read this companies this month sold the least amount of bonds in a decade. What's going on?
Well, really all it comes down to is market volatility. Investors' level of concern and fear is waxing and waning so rapidly that a corporation who's looking to the bond markets to borrow money can't be sure how much they're going to pay for that borrowing. And so many corporations have been pulling bond deals that they plan to issue.
But why are corporations being dragged into this? Obviously, there's a lot of concern about Europe and whether European governments can pay back their debt. But why U.S. companies?
Well, it really comes down to this one linking factor, which is fear. You know, investors these days are very much a global community. Many institutions in particular invest both in Europe and in the U.S. And when they have fear of potential losses in Europe, well, they pare back their exposure worldwide to make sure that there's limited risk of that losses spreading to other sectors of the market.
Well, when we think of a credit crunch, obviously, the first thing that pops into many people's mind is the credit market seized up when Lehman Brothers collapsed. How does this compare to that?
Well, in many ways it is similar, and as you noted, borrowing costs are the highest since that period. But we use a metric called the LIBOR-OIS spread to determine how hard or how easy it is to borrow. And right now, that spread is about a tenth of what it was immediately in the wake of Lehman Brothers. Mm. So we're talking about a small percentage of how bad that situation was.
And any end in sight to this trouble in the bond markets?
You know, I think the issue here is that credit problems with governments take years to resolve. So at the very least, we can expect volatility in the bond markets, possibly even the stock markets, that lasts weeks to months at a minimum.
Guy Labat, chief fixed income strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. By Citrix, offering GoTo Meeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at gotomeeting.com/market. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com.
This week, we've seen just how much Europe's debt problems can impact markets here in the U.S. And one question that's come up a lot recently is whether Europe might drag us into a double-dip recession. For answers, we turn to Robert Reich. He was the Labor Secretary during the Clinton administration. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Mr. Secretary, how badly is the economic recovery here in the U.S. endangered by Europe's credit problems?
Well, it's not all that directly endangered. In fact, the tumult in Europe is actually causing world investors to put their money into dollars for safety, which is lowering our costs of borrowing. Home mortgage rates, for example, Jeremy, are dropping. Mm-hmm. And in effect, Europe is doing more to help distressed homeowners in America than our own government is doing.
So you think the economy, the recovery there, is on track?
I didn't say that. In fact, so far, the recovery is rather disappointing. Growth in the first quarter depended almost entirely on companies getting their inventories back to normal and government stimulus that continued. Uh-huh. But if you take these away, we'd have no growth at all in the first quarter. What's particularly worrying, Jeremy, is that all these boosts are temporary.
But employment is up, so don't consumers have more money to spend?
Well, they have a bit more, but not nearly enough to get the economy moving. Here's the problem. Net new employment is still very small relative to the number of Americans out of work. And we continue to see five job seekers for every job opening. Record percent of Americans have been out of work for 6 months or longer. But, you know, even more troubling, hourly wages actually dropped in the first quarter. Employers just have no incentive to pay more because so many people are looking for work. The problem is there's no way to sustain a recovery when consumer spending is heading south.
Okay, so what's the prognosis, doctor?
An anemic recovery. Even if the Fed keeps interest rates near zero, which I expect it will, there's just not enough boost to get us out of the gravitational pull of the Great Recession. In fact, I'd say we have a 30% probability of falling back into recession. Mm. Look, I'm sorry I can't give you a rosier scenario.
Well, we'll have you back anyway. Secretary Robert Reich, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And finally, we know you're busy, so Marketplace's Bill Radke joins me now in the studio with all the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Jeremy. I hope BP will have the skill to use Top Kill to stop the spill that fills the gills and kills the krill. Still on Capitol Hill, the thrill of the drill is nil. And as predicted, drilling's restricted, the drug's more expensive, and we're still addicted. Euro debt has yet to vanish, first the Greeks and now the Spanish. And Berlusconi lamented a little. He said that the markets are governing Italy. Continental hasn't decided if it's going to fly United. Reviews are out for Sex and the City, and critics agree the film is underwhelming. And the biggest tech firm the world has got used to be Microsoft. Now it is not. Apple surpassed it, but Google's amassed the unsurpassed vastness to blast right past it. And who knows who the Google killer will be, but you'll hear it at marketplace.org.
The great Bill Radke. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.